If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Exciting news! I had the incredible opportunity to be a guest on the Ready, Set, Go show with Catherine Leah Kurt, aka Miss Kate. As a guest on our podcast, I shared my passion for outdoor classrooms and how it all began with a simple garden at my children's elementary school. So today, our episode is that interview. So I'd love for you to tune in and hear how outdoor learning can transform education and family time. Whether you're an educator or a parent, you'll find inspiration and practical tips to bring the classroom outdoors. So without further ado, my episode with the Ready, Set, Go show with Miss Kate. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. My guest today is Victoria Hackett. She hosts the very inspirational Outdoor Classroom podcast, and she's also created a certification program for teachers who are interested in becoming outdoor educators. She also hosts a group called The Circle that meets regularly online in order to help outdoor educators learn from each other. I'm interested in outdoor classrooms because I've been volunteering with an after-school program at my school where I teach music for 8 years, a self-selected group of third through eighth graders do a variety of nature-based activities once a month, including my favorite, gardening. And long before that, I was a camp counselor, and my classroom was a sailboat, canoe, or hiking trail, depending on the day. I'm intrigued by the number of outdoor school programs available today, and Victoria Hackett has been part of this movement for many years. Welcome to the Ready, Set, Go show, Victoria.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a thrill to be here.
Can you start by telling us an early memory of spending time outdoors?
Yes, I can. I guess I'd start with my parents. I'm the youngest of five children, so you can imagine the chaos in our home, all good chaos. But they gifted us with little gardens. And I remember distinctly that I chose a place on the other side of the house to have my garden. And I don't think I really even grew anything, but it was a space where I was nurturing the soil and I had imaginary friends. That was my classroom. And yes, so witnessing my own parents being incredible gardeners themselves and then giving me actually a little piece of land to grow was the first seed of inspiration for reconnecting or connecting with nature.
So did all of your siblings also have their own little gardens?
It's interesting as all of, I don't necessarily remember them all having the very specific gardens like I did, but all of us children are huge gardeners as adults. So all of us have emulated in some way what my parents taught us, sort of maybe even subconsciously. Just thought that was the normal thing to do, was to spend hours and hours in the garden.
Do you have a personal experience of learning in an outdoor space as a child besides the garden?
Besides the garden? Yeah, I think just being outdoors. My parents and our family are very, very outdoorsy. And we spent time taking walks and hikes. And I think just the essence of being outdoors was ingrained in us and has been something that we have shared all of these years. Just being outdoors and spending time outdoors, that was something that we did to bring us all together. And then spending time outdoors in our parents' garden
And then as we got older, we really emulated that into our own gardens and then became very interested in different aspects of activity and the essence and what how we felt after spending time outdoors. So even if it was during the winter months and taking a walk during the winter months, it's just something that was just the norm and something that was how we functioned as a family. And I think in turn, the beauty of that is that functionality is something that we have passed on to our own children.
Yeah, that's really great. So what are some of the outdoor activities you did with your own kids when they were young?
Oh my goodness. I mean, very similar to my own growing up. So we went on lots and lots of hikes. We did everything we possibly could to spend time outdoors, taking walks and skiing. And again, goes back to creating an amazing garden in our own home. So all of that same mixture and recipe that my parents embedded in us is something that we did with our children. And I especially loved, even when our children were very small, we would gather over the summer, we would gather our friends and we created these little camps and we called it Camp Friends. And it was the essence of all of spending time in our gardens and doing arts and crafts, but not necessarily arts and crafts inside, but doing it outside with nature's loose parts and all of that. Because I was a preschool teacher for years and years and years. So taking all of that into the world with my own family was a very natural transition.
That sounds so wonderful. Well, can you describe how you got involved with your first outdoor classroom as an adult?
I've told the story many times, and it's one of walking to and from school with my kindergartner at the time and my first grader at the time. So we would walk, we would pass the front door of the school, we would see this desolate courtyard, and we just sort of thought, oh, it's just really it doesn't represent what's happening indoors. It was very desolate, it was very empty, it was sort of an eyesore. And so we drop off, that would go on and on, back and forth. And then I had a mentor at the time, Phil Solomon, and she had created this incredible courtyard garden at the Chenery Middle School in Belmont, Massachusetts. And she was amazing. And that was the seed of inspiration for me to spearhead a children's garden at my children's elementary school in that desolate outdoor classroom. And that was truly this seed of inspiration that catapulted me into this whole world of outdoor classrooms. And I can't tell you enough that between the little Camp Friends that we'd created when the kids were super little to this creation, spearheading this outdoor classroom children's garden, those two memories are just so prevalent in my own being as almost favorite memories of a lifetime, truly.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, can you tell us about the history of outdoor classrooms and how they've evolved over the years?
Yes, it's fascinating because when we started that little garden at my children's elementary school, I was on a crusade to learn more. And in that crusade, I really found that the forest school movement and really evolved and started in the UK. So just that concept, and also in just spending time outdoors and all of that was very normal, so to speak. And so bringing that philosophy over here to the United States is very slow, but it's considered a movement now, and outdoor classrooms are popping up everywhere and including these different sort of philosophies. When I went out to kind of learn more about outdoor classrooms, I really found four different types of people and groups. And a lot of those groups were a lot of edible gardens, gardens that feed. A lot of those type of gardens were popping up in California because their climate is steadier than it is here in New England. And so when I was doing my research, I found, wow, there's really four different types of gardens. There's gardens that feed, gardens that attract wildlife, gardens for art and beauty, and gardens as outdoor learning stations. And I found out all those four camps of people were very separate from each other. There was a group that all they wanted to do was grow food. And so they sort of had camps that were focused on just growing food and the nutritional value of food. And with wildlife, I found with the National Wildlife Federation. They were focused on providing and growing gardens that were for animals, that would attract animals. And Gardens for Art and Beauty actually was inspired by my own parents who gardened for art and beauty. I mean, their whole mission was to build a huge garden that hid the road. That was what my late father used to always say. Let's just hide the road so we can create this incredible oasis. And then the final one was gardens as outdoor learning stations. And that I sort of thought, what about all those mud kitchens and water walls and fishing bridges? Where do we put those? So that was that. So those four different types of gardens is a lot of the foundation of what we do at Outdoor Classrooms today.
So do you have any idea how many outdoor classrooms there are in America or around the world?
I don't necessarily know a distinct number, but I do know that it's growing. I know that it's growing because I know, again, in the UK, they had, that's an established movement and us were slowly learning. And I think there's a big movement in terms of looking for alternative education, especially with a lot of our children that are, they're not experiencing success in the four walls of a classroom. So there's been a lot of looking outside of the classroom. So it's growing. I don't know the exact number.
Do you feel like COVID made a big difference in the numbers?
Absolutely, without a doubt. And I witnessed it because I was working, people were calling me to help them figure out how they could and can teach and move their classrooms outdoors. So there were, even in our little community in Beverly, Massachusetts, their school district called me and said, how can we get all of our classrooms across from preschool all the way up to the high school outdoors? And so that changed the mindset in terms of how we were educating children. And I think a lot, not everybody, but I think a huge percentage of educators found, wow, there are huge benefits to this teaching outdoors. And wow, we can actually meet the standards. And it's actually what we're finding. And there are now people that are doing lots and lots of studies that the studies are showing that children are showing higher test scores when they are learning outdoors.
Do you know about many programs that are elementary or high school kind of around the country?
The majority that I know about are the preschool ages, their early childhood ages. That seems to sort of fit beautifully. I think when children get a little bit older and the standards get a little bit more concerning, there's a concern with teachers that, oh, we're not going to be able to meet the standards. So it's really an educational process to showcase that actually taking children outside and really showing teachers and working alongside teachers to showcase how we can connect a farm or a certain outdoor classroom to the standards that they're trying to connect and how it can be done actually better outside than inside. And all the research saying that the kids are going to be calmer and happier and they're going to learn more when they're outside. So it's a matter of this, we really need to work towards how can we educate and work together with teachers so they're meeting their standards and we're going outside. It's a marriage.
So how do schools manage weather issues like rain, snow, or extreme cold or heat?
It's a great question and one I get all the time. So yes, weather is weather. And there is a lot of what we say is there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. So it's a lot. The first thing to do is to figure out the gear for that particular season. So if you have a very snowy season, figuring out how to dress a child, what is the appropriate clothing? And then there's always the question of equity, in terms of making sure that everybody in the school or the class, they're all dressed appropriately. And so how can we do that? Then you think about shelter. Do you have shelter outdoors to go to? I know some programs don't have any shelter, so they might have tents or pop-up tents. And then you think about extreme heat. And are there spaces in your outdoor classroom where you can find shade and so on and so forth? So thinking about all of these elements with weather, but also what I also like to say in our community is to use weather as a teaching tool. If we only go outside when it's beautiful and sunny and seasonably comfortable, then children are actually not learning the essence of rain, what rain can teach us, what snow can teach us, what ice can teach us. So there's a beautiful mindset shift that I think we as educators, and when I say educators, I mean parents and anybody who educates children. So it's kind of, that's the umbrella term I like to use. So thinking about that, thinking about weather is actually a teaching tool. So being prepared to be and physically be into what weather, but to also use it as a teaching tool.
So what are some of the benefits of going to an outdoor school rather than a regular program?
Oh my goodness. It's exponential. There are so many children that do not function well in four walls. All children benefit, but especially children that are maybe bouncing off the walls. We find that if we take the walls away, they thrive. And if we have that mindset shift of, yes, we're going to actually do this, they thrive. You know why they thrive? Because they have more room. They can be children. They're not being told to be quiet because they're indoors. They're not sitting at desks. They're children. So children need to move. And learning is messy. And being outdoors, they're given permission to move around. They're given permission to get messy. And so in that arena, and if we can create an effective outdoor classroom, which is what we do at Outdoor Classrooms, when they have an effective outdoor classroom and a beautiful outdoor space that they can learn in, taking those walls away gives them permission to learn the way children learn.
So I imagine you've worked with some teachers who at one time were working solely indoors with their students, aside from maybe recess. How are you finding their experience of classroom management when they get to an outdoor classroom in comparison?
I think what I find most is that it takes baby steps. And that's what a lot of what we talk about in the five phases of teaching outdoors, which is what we teach at Outdoor Classrooms. And in those baby steps, there's a mindset shift. I think initially teachers, they do what's comfortable for them. And then if they can start slow, it's not something that happens overnight if you're so used to teaching indoors. But once they start teaching outdoors, they do a short lesson outdoors, or they might just read a story outdoors. And then when they start seeing the change in behavior in a positive sense with the children that they're teaching, then that is sort of a wake-up call. It's like, oh, wow, there is something to this. And when that happens over and over and over, the wonder, the inquiry, the essence, there's a magic that happens when children are, and all of us, are connected to nature. Inquiry and wonder are the best sort of ways to describe it, but it's this magical thing that happens when children make that connection. And then what's the beauty is then that connection happens and then a relationship with nature starts. And the hope is that it starts with the educator and also starts with the child. And then the essence of learning can really be twofold.
That's great. Yeah, we can all keep learning every day for sure. It makes me think about how my first classroom was really a sailboat. My first experience being a camp counselor, I was sailing all day, every day, pretty much for my classes. And I remember my mom, who was a teacher, telling me, I really think you should consider being a teacher. And she was saying that from the perspective of the fact that I like to work with kids. But I really just couldn't wrap my mind around the concept of being in a classroom. And that was my holdup for years. And finally, I came around and got certified to teach. And I'm so glad I did, you know, and I've had great experiences inside as well. But it's been a lot of fun now to be working with this group that's kind of a self-selected group of third through eighth graders who are learning how to take care of a garden and clear it out in the spring and then plant new seeds for food and new little plants for pollinators. And some of them come back year after year. And I can see that growth and excitement and their enthusiasm to bring some of what they know back home and to help their own parents garden at home. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a connection. It's this connection that it seems so natural that it's a wonder why it can be so challenging at times to open the door and go outside.
I think everybody is just time starved. Being a teacher, I know that's the case. But you're right. We can always figure out a way to be creative and teach a lot of the same things outside. And I love that idea of just going outside to read the story. There's always an opportunity for that potentially. All right. Can you tell us about the circle and how people can join?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I wanted to do when my kids graduated from their elementary school, I thought, okay, what's next? And what I did was I said I didn't necessarily want to start outdoor classrooms, but I wanted to really bring a community together. I mean, I wanted to create outdoor classrooms, but I really wanted to inspire educators all over the country and create a movement and be a part of a movement. And so that was the inspiration for starting the Circle membership community. And it's an online community where we have educators from all over the world. We have an educator from the UK. She brings her UK stories into our community. And it's become family, truly. And we meet twice a month. And we meet once for a round table discussion. And that's kind of people bring their stories, they bring their activities, what they're doing. It's a time that we troubleshoot. It's a time we network. It's a gathering, and it's all online. And the second time that we meet each month is we have a new workshop, a new one-hour workshop topic. And it's usually topics that they request. So I'm like, okay, what do you want to hear about this month? So I put a workshop together. We get a new workshop, and they have access to the entire workshop library. They get discounts on our certification program. And it's so wonderful because I've seen educators that are in the community. They've been with us for so long that we've had kids be born in the community. We have another family child. She's getting a PhD, and we're cheering her on through that process. And it's truly just a space where we come together and we cheer each other on and support each other. And again, lift each other up, and in hope they pass that on to the people that are in their world. So that's the Circle.
Oh, that's so exciting. So how much does it cost?
So the Circle is $27 a month, and that's it. So I intentionally make it a low cost option. And the reason why we call it the Circle is because it's not me saying, okay, this is the way of the world and this is the way we should do nature-based education. It's the Circle because we are a community and we all have a voice in our circle. So with $27 a month, you get access to a whole entire private portal. And you do have an option to, you can pay for the whole year as well. And if you have more than 5 teachers, you do get a discount, a group discount option as well.
Oh, that's great. So where do you find more information about how to join?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. You can find more at www.outdoor-classrooms.com. And if you have any questions, you can go on that website and you can always sign up for a one-on-one call with me. And that can be a discovery call to see if this is the right fit. And I would love to learn more about your program and how I can help and support.
And I just want to give a shout out to your podcast, which I've enjoyed so much. I'm so interested in outdoor classrooms. And one day I just decided to look at what podcasts were available. And I found yours on top of the list, I think. And I started listening, and you interview people all around the country, and their stories are so inspirational. I just love the podcast because I feel like so often we hear about, oh, this generation is just all on their screens and all they care about is social media and nobody's outside anymore. But obviously, there's a real hunger from some families, and then the kids really love it, you know, to be in outdoor classrooms or at least to spend time outside with their own families. And of course, that's happening too. And I just feel like when I hear the stories of all the creativity and all the excitement going into teaching all around the country in this way, it's so inspirational. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Oh, you just gave me goosebumps. Thank you so much. Those words mean the world to me. It's been a labor of love, and really, truly, my mission was to, I feel like a lot of us work in silos in this world of nature-based education, and I wanted to lift those stories so everybody could hear them. And again, to promote this movement, and there's an urgency.
So what advice can you give parents and grandparents or others who are caring for young kids about getting the kids outside to play and learn?
I say, don't think too much about it. Change your mindset. Open the door. If you're nervous about it, go outside, read a story, keep it super simple, make it a positive experience. And you do not have to be a landscape architect. You do not have to be. You can make very, very simple pieces in your either your backyard or your outdoor space, wherever you are. But the goal being that you truly want to plant seeds of inspiration for children in your care, whoever they are, whether your grandchildren or your own children or your children that you're teaching. The idea is we want to reconnect children with nature so they in turn can become, have a relationship with nature. So they in turn can become the next generation of advocates. So we don't want to throw all the sad, depressing stuff on them. We want to have them have positive experiences. And that can simply be going outside, taking a walk, reading a book, eating watermelon outside. It can be super, super simple.
You know, I want to share a story about something I did outside this year for the first time. And I've been working on an outdoor classroom, and I'm the one who helps with pollinator plants and deciding what we can do to attract butterflies and bees to our campus. But then the other part of the garden is for food plants. And my family did not grow food in a garden. We had pretty trees and flowers, but not food. So I really felt a little bit nervous about it. And I know that most of them need full sun. And I've for years now thought, you know, I really want to plant some food and just experiment in my own yard. But we really just didn't have any full sun areas. And so in the end, I decided to go ahead and try to plant some things in pots. And therefore, I could like move them if I wanted to or needed to. And also that it just really didn't matter too much if it didn't work out. My daughter had gone off to college, and I thought this would be a fun thing to do with my son because we're going to have a different kind of summer with her gone at a job in a different state. So we went to the gardening store together and chose what to do. And we chose several kinds of tomatoes, okra, banana peppers. That was my son's decision because he doesn't like anything like jalapenos, and some green peppers. And so it's been really fun. They actually worked out. They're not in a full sun area, but it's sunny enough. And just yesterday we had cherry tomatoes, like two big handfuls of cherry tomatoes that we were able to put in our salad, all from our own garden, and one okra that is so fun to have, just to see it growing there. It's right on the very top of the plant. And then we've had a couple banana peppers and one green pepper so far. And it's just been a total joy to try this new thing and to realize like it's not that big a deal. We don't have to put it in the middle of our yard if we don't want to. We like to play badminton out there. But that was kind of my hang up. Like I didn't want to ruin the full sun part of my yard for playing, you know. So it just worked out. And I'm just really excited about trying something new.
Yeah. And I love what you say. It's playful. You know, I think it's important for us as adults to playfully learn and try new things. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's the beauty of all of this is we are creating children's gardens and children aren't perfect. And that's kind of, it's fun to be in the mess.
So is there anything else you'd like to share?
I encourage everybody just to play, to playfully learn outside. And I just want to thank you. I thank you for what you're doing and really sharing stories and bringing music to our outdoor classrooms as well. So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I really appreciate your being here with us today on the Ready, Set, Go show.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate being here. It was an honor.
And thanks, listeners, for taking the time to listen to the show today. I hope you get a chance to enjoy some time outdoors with your kids very soon, whether you're playing badminton like I love to do in my backyard, gardening, swimming, going on a bike ride, or throwing a ball, or just going on a walk around the neighborhood. Have a great day and shine on, friends.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. Before we sign off, we have an exciting opportunity for educators looking to bring learning to life outdoors. Consider enhancing your teaching journey with the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program empowers educators to transform any outdoor space into a dynamic learning environment. By joining, you'll gain skills to inspire students and foster a deeper connection with the natural world. Interested in making a difference with outdoor learning? Visit www.outdoor-classrooms.com To learn more about enrolling in the certification program, don't miss the chance to expand your teaching toolkit and inspire the next generation with the joy of outdoor education. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to our podcast for more inspiring content. Until next time, keep inspiring young minds.